Welcome to episode 79 of the Untitled Gaming Podcast. My name is Zach, and this week I'm joined by Rick.
Rick.
Chance. And Pat.
Salutations. I haven't done it in a while.
I know. It caught me off guard. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. We are a gaming podcast that aims to entertain as well as inform. We discuss the week's biggest gaming news, game reviews, and impressions, and talk about the gaming industry in general. Of course, we don't only discuss games. We occasionally talk about movies, TV shows.
Favorite vacation spots.
That was a good.
We don't, none of us do vacation.
What do you mean?
Yeah, just my couch playing video games.
That's honestly. Vacation.
Do I like places we've ever been to?
Yeah, or just, yeah.
Or where we'd like to go.
I'm assuming some place you had an experience with, because therefore it'd be your favorite vacation spot.
Fair enough.
Can't be like, my favorite vacation spot is Laos, and then, you know, you go to Laos and it's like shitty.
Anywhere in Europe was dope, and then the Bahamas were cool.
Really, anywhere in Europe? Even the gutter in France?
I've been
to the catacombs?
I didn't go to the catacombs in France, but I really want to.
Really?
Yeah.
You want to go there?
It'd be historical. I mean, I'm going during the daytime.
Well, there won't be daytime down there. Yeah,
you understand how light works,
and,
right?
And it'll be dead time down there.
And dead time. And I'll be with people. I mean, nothing bad ever happens in a large
area. Yeah, because all horror movies, they're always...
And you'll be surrounded by a lot of dead people as you get further.
Okay, well, now I don't want to go to catacombs. So thanks for ruining that for me.
One less place you can go to.
Pat, go.
You said pretty much my couch.
Oh, you were serious.
Okay. I'm not a traveling type of person.
Really? That's unsurprising. I don't know why I sounded surprised.
The Thackers don't have a good history with traveling.
Chance, what about you?
I've been there. It's been a long time since I've been there, but I want to go back to Denver.
Okay.
Yeah. I went there in 2014 for the World Cup. The World Cup wasn't there. I just watched the World Cup while I was in Denver.
I was about to say, the World Cup was hosted in Brazil that year.
They did show it in Denver, though.
Oh, yeah. They showed it worldwide.
Nope.
Yeah.
Not in the catacombs in France.
Okay, that may be true, but...
It's probably the most exotic, but also one of my favorites was Costa Rica, just because Central America is beautiful. Really enjoyed it down there. Spider monkeys and a lot of weird animals and, you know, a lot of really good food.
My friend spent 2 years there. He did a mission trip there.
Oh.
It was amazing.
Oh, God, it's gorgeous.
Did he complete the mission?
I would assume so.
To defeat the evil power?
No, it's still in charge, very much so. Anyway.
All right. So this week we'll be discussing our hidden gems in gaming, the Nintendo Partner Direct Mini, and the PS5 showcase. But first, what have you guys played this week? Chance, we'll start with you.
What have I played?
Yeah.
What have I played?
A simple question.
What are you playing right now?
I'm not. I'm figuring out what my hidden gem is.
You know you can lie.
I don't like lying.
That's a good character trait. Like,
no, it's not. I can't get away with murder ever.
Don't. That's where you
don't murder.
If you don't, like lying, surely that stops your moral compass from straying to murder. Like,
I can murder people, but I can't lie about it.
No one asked me directly if I've ever murdered someone.
I've been playing a lot of TFT.
Team Fortress
2? Team Fight Tactics.
Team Fight Tactics, which is League of Legends, or Riot's Auto Chess. I've been playing that. The new set just came out, so new characters with new synergies. Been playing all that. This is very recent, but I have Call of Duty Alpha is out on PlayStation. I play a little bit of it. My first game, you know, just got over 40 points.
A little
average on my part. Like, usually I do better than that, but...
It's more Call of Duty, in case you're wondering. Like, literally, I played for, like, 2-3 games. First of all, people already know the maps, and they are already camping corners. Like, what the fuck? This just came out, like, hours ago. But
I don't know when I was playing.
I mean,
as you saw, I had, like, over 40 points, 40 kills in less than 15 deaths.
In the sand level, that has a lot of open spaces. I'm talking about the Moscow map that is, like, confined corners.
Yeah, that's why you just get good.
Yeah, I don't think you mentioned it yet. How many kills did you get, Chance?
Just a little over 40. Nothing much, really.
I cannot confirm that.
Yeah.
Check your history.
I mean, it's my history.
Check the tapes.
I got the kills.
Check the tapes.
I mean, you guys want to check my account. I got 40 kills.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I liked it a lot. It was really good.
Your words were literally, this is the best Call of Duty ever.
Okay.
And then when he died, this is the worst Call of Duty ever.
Okay, through the general emotions of a Call of Duty.
The whole spectrum. When you've played Call of Duty as much as I have, you can tell. You can just tell.
There you go. Call of Duty... Cold War has Chance's stamp of approval on it.
Was it ever not going to have Chance's stamp of approval on it?
Probably not. The odds are slim.
All right, Pat, what about you? What have you played this week?
So I've played a lot, but I kind of want to focus on just Marvel's Avengers. you know, I've been playing this since it came out. I got it at launch. I finished the campaign. Took me about like 10 to 12 hours-ish. And I just kind of want to give you my thoughts. So I played the campaign entirely in single player. I think there are certain missions where you can like matchmake and invite your friends to play. Like the structure is like they have certain missions for certain heroes. But for I think most of the campaign, you are playing as Kamala Khan. And then certain missions where there's multiple heroes, you're able to choose which hero you want to play as, and then you can invite your friends. But most of the time, I just main Kamala, and then I just single playered it because none of you fucking bitches wanted to play or get the game even. Most of my experience of it was just the campaign. The story is cheesy and it is a little bit predictable, but like you can tell that they are comic book fans, and the way they introduce the characters, and then obviously you guys have seen the A-Day demo. That's kind of the first mission, but it's not really, because you get to play like an hour or so of Kamala Khan before any of that happens. And it's mostly just like world building in that hour. And it's done really well. Kind of makes me wonder why when they first shut off this game, they didn't show any of Kamala Khan when she is the main protagonist of this game. But gameplay, obviously, it's not amazing, because as you're playing, you are unlocking these skill trees, and the skill trees do change the way the characters play. So initially, when you start off with a new character, when they reassemble into the Avengers and you finally get to play as them, they are all level one. So the amount that like you're playing, the abilities and stuff you can do is not anywhere near where they're gonna be. And it is like somewhat grindy to get to that. But if there was a version of this game that is just this single player story without any of like the leveling or the gear bullshit or anything, I think that by itself is going to be worth like $60. So once I beat the campaign, I jumped into the multiplayer, and the multiplayer is very much like Destiny. Like you redoing the same missions, same repeating encounters. They have the same like two villains. Taskmaster and Abomination are the only like major villains. Aside from that, it's just giant robots. And I'm like, you have a huge rogues gallery from any of the Avengers you could have picked. I guess you do have, obviously, MODOK, but he's like the final battle. And the structure of the missions is not anywhere like it was advertised for that A-Day mission. Like the A-Day mission, you're playing a section as Thor, then it switches to Iron Man, Cap, and everybody. You get to play a little bit of everybody doing specific things in the mission, and that feels very much like an Avengers movie moment. Like everybody's off doing their own thing, and then they kind of work together at the end. That only happens twice. That happens at the beginning A-Day section, and then that happens in the final battle. If they had more sections of that, that would have been so much better. But regardless, like obviously this is a games as service. They're going to keep adding to it. I did notice a shit ton of bugs in the actual multiplayer section of it. Certain missions, it's like, and you have to kill 5 enemies. And I'm playing as Kamala, and then I do my super where I become gigantic. And I'm just smashing them, and one of them flies into the wall, and then he goes through the wall. And now I can't get to him to kill him, so this mission can never be over. I'm like, what the fuck? So if I want to like finish that mission, because if I reload the save, that same thing happens again. So now I have to reload the whole mission to finally beat it. And that is just super annoying, because it's like already repetitive in nature. And then now you're making me replay a mission without getting any of the drops that I would have gotten for the mission I already played. So a lot of frustrating bugs. So I think I'm like done for now. I've gotten my experience out of the campaign. I will wait till they kind of, do some updates, do some bug fixing, and then probably jump in next gen, because it is getting an upgrade. And then another thing, frame rate is just terrible. I do think it is definitely a worthwhile experience just for the campaign if you're a huge comic book fan, but obviously you know the type of game you like, so if you don't like the Destiny-style gameplay, I wouldn't recommend it too much.
Cool. Rick, what about you? What have you played?
I beat Tony Hawk with Tony Hawk. They have a bunch of other skaters, so it's the Tony Hawk 1 and 2 remaster or remake. You have a variety of skaters, so I can kind of go back and play with other skaters, but I took a little bit of a break because hands were getting a little tired, thumbs were hurting. A lot of it kind of revolves around muscle memory, like playing it as a kid. So that kind of came back, but I think I developed some extra muscles somehow, because like somehow I'll just be like on a ramp and I'm like, okay, cool, I'm just going to spin and do a trick. And then somehow I'm off the ramp suddenly and grinding. And yeah, I'm trying to get better at it. I need to get a little bit better, but yeah, in time. So I took a break from that, went back to Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Always a good time. Not like game of the year time, but it's a pretty good time. No. Getting pretty close to reaching the level that I could play all the DLC that I purchased, just anticipating Valhalla. Really excited about Valhalla.
Super excited, yeah.
Then today I went and bought Super Mario
3D All-Stars,
yeah, and started playing some Super Mario 64. All the fun nostalgia. I've yet to do the snow level where you drop the penguin off the side of the mountain. I'm really looking forward
to
that.
Cool mountain?
Yep. Nice. So far it's fun. I'm really excited about Sunshine. I've never played Sunshine. And
Sunshine Galaxy is so much fun. I think you'll really like it.
I haven't played Galaxy since I beat it back when it came out.
64 the only one you've hopped into right now?
So far, yep.
How's it on Switch?
Yeah, how's it run?
It runs really well. The one thing I do have an issue with is
4x3.
It's not so much the 4x3. The main thing I'm having a big issue with right now is the camera angles.
Yeah, you didn't have two control sticks.
No.
So how does that work? Do they make it two control sticks or not?
I'm still trying to get the hang of it. Because, of course, the way the original is, you can switch between your cameraman or the Mario cam. And Mario cam is kind of janky. It follows you around, but it can kind of go in and out, seemingly at random. The cameraman only goes certain angles, so if you switch, like, suddenly while you're trying to walk across a plank, you're falling off that plank.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it has been too bad. Once again, it's something I'll probably get used to.
It's disappointing they didn't go with the 16.9. Like, they said they were going to do it with Sunshine, I remember we talked about.
Yep.
Whether or not
Sunshine
it would be.
Sunshine and, I think, Galaxy as well, right? I don't know. We'll figure that out. We all own the game.
I haven't played it yet, but it is disappointing that...
I would turn it on. It's all the way over there, though.
That's a whole new level of laziness.
That's about it. Oh, shit. Never mind. Rewind. It's not it. Once again, broke out the projector and played some Jackbox. That was a lot of fun. And I did play a little bit of Resident Evil 7 after I had a little bit of Liquid Courage.
The projector?
Not on the projector,
oh,
no.
That would have been sweet.
No, but in like a country house, like my wife was asleep, and it was still kind of terrifying. But yeah, like after the first 10 minutes of that game, I was pretty scared, so I was like, no, I could do it now. Oh yeah, my wife's right here, I'll be fine, I have another human here with me. And then yeah, I got through a little bit more, developed some bravery.
It's like not even like jump scares or, you know, stuff popping out at you, it's the anticipation.
Yep.
Because you know something most likely is going to happen, but a lot of times it doesn't. It's really well done, like hats off to them.
Yeah, so that's what I've been up to. How about you? Nice. Zach,
I didn't get to play too much this week just because I've been super busy, so there's only like maybe like an hour here or there. So I didn't dive into anything that required like too much long gameplay. So,
XCloud, right? Cause that's, you could play the go.
I could have played on the go, but I was busy doing what I was doing. So I couldn't be bothered to play. So didn't get a lot of time to do gameplay. Yes. I
just
not...
cut scenes then.
Yeah. Just cut scenes. Nope.
Didn't get a lot of time for gameplay.
I played, F1. 2019, Rocket League got a new update, so like basically their entire user interface changed.
And isn't Rocket League going to be free to play?
Rocket League is going to be free to play September 23rd. It was supposed to be earlier in the summer, but it got delayed, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Being on a big racing kick right now, just with like the F1 and the Rocket League. I also saw that there's this game on Game Pass that came out in August. It's called Hot Shot Racing. So I downloaded that. It's arcade style racing, like those old arcade games that you played. So it's like quick laps, like 30-second laps. It's really simple. It's just drifting, braking, boosting, slipstreaming. That's like basically all the game is. So very simple. I've enjoyed it. Quick.
Are these like the hot shots of Hot Shots Golf?
No, it's not like
Hot Shots was PlayStation.
Yeah.
Is it still though? Is it
probably
first party?
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it has any relation to the Hot Shot Golf franchise.
They might get a lawsuit.
But yeah, so that's basically all I've really played. Do we have any housekeeping stuff?
Oh, I'll be on Gamers Advocate. I think they post on Mondays. Go check that out.
Okay. Today.
We'll tweet about it. Yeah.
The first thing we're going to talk about is the hidden gems of upcoming games. So a lot has happened this year, from major announcements to reveals. To
Summer Games Fest.
Summer Games
Winter
Fest.
Winter Game Fest.
Now the Winter's Game Fest. There's been a lot of delays and actual
Ubisoft
releases.
Ubisoft has done two showcases. Sony's done like four.
Nintendo's had their directs and stuff like that. So naturally, these big companies with the biggest games and all that stuff rightly get all the limelight. So we wanted to take some time to highlight some of the hidden gems that are upcoming that haven't gotten their time in the spotlight. So we're just going to go around, just name probably just one each, and then just kind of give them their time in the sun. So who wants to go first?
So before we do that, requirements are, so a game that is coming, that has not been released yet, it's coming out soon, and that has not been actively like highlighted by one of the major showcase holders or anything like that. So something that's kind of been under the radar that you like speaks to you. We're just going to talk about like what it is, why it speaks to you. Chance, why don't you go first?
Okay, I'm really going first. Okay, let's do this.
I'm really going first.
All right, the game I chose, my hidden gem, Biomutant. This game's been teased for a year or so. Developed by Experiment 101 and published by THQ Nordic. It's kind of like a post-apocalyptic kung fu fable. It's an open world with stylized combat. I was super interested in this game because I like the kung fu combat. You can kind of juggle opponents. You can kind of throw them up and then attack them midair, and they're like kind of frozen. You're like doing these combos. There was a bunch of mini and boss fights. There's like mechs you can get into. You can fly in these ships, and there's videos of this guy like in one of these kind of look like a hot air balloon, but kind of like mechanical. And he's just kind of minding his own business, and then some enemies can throw up a hook and drag them down, and it seemed really interesting. The characters in this game are kind of rodent, like cute little rodent characters, and there's different factions that you can do side quests for. This is like an RPG, so there's different weapons of different rarity, different stats. All the weapons look like they had different styles. You know, you can use like different, I don't even know the names of all the different weapons like that you can use, but they're all martial art weaponry. Also, there are guns in the game, like shotguns and pistols, so you can do kind of like this slow-mo, like character jumping, like kind of like a
gun-fu, like a
gun-fu
John Woo movie.
Who's that? Who's that one guy? Where you can like slow down time, but you're like don't go into the side.
John Woo.
Kind of like Max Payne, like bullet time. One cool feature is this Biomutant. Looks like you can actually mutate your character like throughout the game to resemble the attributes of the other factions, and that will change your stats. Recently, this game has been very much under the radar. It's kind of like disappeared. The most recent news of this game came in the form of a gameplay trailer in July. It was mentioned that the game will release when they're happy with it. So who knows when that'll be. I'm hoping this year, maybe next year. I don't really know. But
still, that's like an integrity move. Like, yeah.
I mean,
once it's ready, it'll be ready.
But we got a lot of people are understanding nowadays. People are just like, okay, release this game, make sure it's good.
I think it's good.
Don't rush it or anything.
It's a smaller developer, too. Yeah. So like, obviously, they don't have the resources.
Don't pressure your people to work on it quicker and to rush things and make shortcuts. So this game will release at some point. But yeah, that's the move, game everyone should be looking out for. Is
Rick, what about you?
My hidden gem, which has been confirmed that it will come out this year, hopefully.
Fuck you, Chance. What?
It's Twin Mirror by Don't Nod Entertainment. They did Vampyr, Life is Strange, and most recently Tell Me Why, which is available right now for Xbox Game Pass.
Go play it. It's really good.
Also, they did this in collaboration with Shibuya Entertainment, who also did Shinmue 3. They kind of were responsible for getting that Kickstarter up and running and getting that game developed, as well as Bandai, Bandai Namco.
Publisher.
Yeah, that's the publisher. You probably know from a lot of anime games. So it centers around Sam, seemingly either a detective or a reporter. He visits West Virginia. Seems as though his brother has passed away, and he's trying to get to the bottom of it. He just wants to be there for a very short period of time, but he also has a lot of stuff to solve. In the most recent trailer that we saw, we actually got to see it's a truck crash, and like he's basically investigating a crime scene, and he gets basically visualizations of how he thinks the crime scene goes and how different ways it could have gone. Like,
and if it's a Don't Nod game, I'm assuming choice is involved. So like there might be a right answer, but like you can choose how the story is shaped.
And that's what really makes me excited about it, because even L.A. Noire, when the last like detective game I really played, you go around and you question people, but really it doesn't matter. You kind of get to the same conclusion anyway.
You could just be a really bad detective if you fuck up all the clues. Or fuck up in the interrogation.
Yeah.
That was great. Like,
oh, God. So
you murdered and raped that little girl, didn't you?
That was my bad.
Yeah, my bad. My bad.
I love that.
I was just joking. You're fine.
Sorry.
Sorry, I mean, to derail your thing there.
One of the fun fact about Twin Mirror, we first heard about it at the 2018 E3. They showed a trailer, kind of had some dreamlike control vibes, but really we found out in the most recent trailer that that's kind of how he investigates. And it was slated for a 2019 release date. So, yeah.
And some delays.
I was like, oh man, I'll check out Twin Mirror. And I looked at the trailer and I was like, oh man, this is so sweet. Like, when does it say it's going to come out? 2019. I was like, well, it's 2020 now. I say the production value doesn't seem like crazy high on it, but the story seems like it's definitely going to make up for it. Seems like it has a lot of almost like Twin Peaks or Alan Wake vibes. That could be really interesting. Seemingly a lot of various ways you can go about the story, which is kind of a signature with Don't Nod.
Yeah, like Don't Nod really thrives in that like double A region. Like obviously they don't have the resources of a huge studio, but they take on some interesting stories and stuff. And it's not like their games are like super indie or like super buggy or anything like that. They do put out a quality product like Life is Strange and Tell Me Why and everything. And this one is not episodic, right?
No.
Okay, that's going to be really good because usually Don't Nods are episodic, but they have been getting better with their release schedule. Like, Tell Me Why was literally once a week, so.
Yeah, and Twin Mirror will be released on the 1st of December, so it's definitely coming out this year. I have it in my video game fantasy draft list, so I'm hoping it gets me some points because it seems like it, you know, will be a lot of fun. Seems also like it has some heart as well, which is always a good thing. Zach?
I'm going to Pat go.
All right, so my game is called Chicken Police, and it is being developed by the Wild Gentlemen. This was a while ago when they talked about it. They said it's releasing later this summer, but as we all know, it is now not summer anymore. But they are from Budapest, so when is their summer?
Next year.
So technically, it's summer somewhere. All right, it's going to be coming out on PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Switch. So like, it's going to hit everything. This is how they describe it. A buddy cop noir adventure with animal characters. And that is fucking right up my alley. Like, everything of that sounds awesome.
It's almost like a Sam and Max.
Yeah, so it is like an old school point and click adventure, but they do have like little mini games and stuff that I'll talk about a little bit more in a second. But basically, it's the story is two hard-boiled detectives looking to solve a gritty case.
Because they're hard-boiled.
Yeah, exactly. They're chicken.
They're chicken.
But, the case itself is going to like be gritty. So it's going to be like a dramedy. It's not really going to be like full on comedy. It's not going to be full on drama.
It'll have like comedic overtones in it. Like.
Yeah. The developers literally describe like their game as a cross between LA Noir and BoJack Horseman. The second I saw anything about this game, I'm like, holy fuck, I'm getting that as soon as it comes out. And we did see a developer interview and then they had some gameplay like playing in the background as B-roll. And the gameplay that they showed was, you're talking to a woman who has like a fox head or whatever, but it's literally like a normal human body. Mm-hmm. And they said was they tried working with like a bunch of different animation styles and like character design and stuff. And they're like, you know what? What if we just take pictures of ourselves dressed up and then we take pictures of animals and put them on our faces? And I'm like, that actually works really well because that actually looks like a fox. A lady with a fox head or whatever. They said they originally were taking like stock photos, but then they're like, you know what? Fuck it. And then they just went to a zoo and then they literally took pictures of real animals.
Those animals getting paid?
No.
No.
But the character in that game with the lady with the fox head, her name is Foxy Lady.
Yeah, there's a lot of animal puns. So yeah, a lot of inspiration from BoJack Horseman. And all the human characters are fully voiced. There are little mini games, like they show like a gun range section where you are, it like goes to first person and then you're like shooting targets or whatever, because you are playing as a detective, so I'm assuming there's gonna be some sort of section with like action in it. So yeah, it looks great. I love like the dark mystery and gritty tone with like human characters, a lot of animal puns, which sounds awesome. There hasn't really been a lot of, in recent memory, a lot of point and click adventures, so I'm totally down for like that genre of game. It seems like it's not a very demanding game, so I'm sure it'll run great on Switch. I'm probably just gonna get it on Xbox to get the achievements, but definitely looks like a great game. Hopefully it comes out this year, but I'm totally fine if they need to delay it. I'm just all for that story. Chicken Police. Mm-hmm. Keep an eye out.
All right, so my hidden gem is called Corvus.
Corvus?
Or Corvus, yes, because the U in the title looks like a V.
It doesn't look, it's a V. It's literally a V.
Okay, like, so in the, so it's a U, but in like the gameplay,
in their logo,
in their poster, it's a V.
Yeah, it's like, okay. Vivitch.
So it looks like a what?
Like the movie The Witch, instead of using a W, they used two V's. They thought we would notice.
Anyway, so we talked about it when it was first announced, and we really haven't heard much news on it since. It's by Deep Silverfish Labs, and it's the space combat.
Wait, you said that. It's by Deep Silver is the publisher and Fish Labs is the developer.
Right, but like the developer's
called... The way you said that was...
But the developer is called Deep Silver Fish Labs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the publisher is Deep Silver, and then the developer is Deep Silver Fish Labs.
So it's just one of their
studios. Yeah, it's one of their own studios. Chorus was that space combat shooter that we talked about when it had been announced. Do we want to go over like kind of the synopsis of the game at all? I know we kind of did that. Already.
Huh? Gameplay, what's it like?
So
Star Foxy?
It's Star Foxy. It's sexy in space.
That's a perfect tagline they should have gone with.
Oh, man.
Hey, Deep Silver, give me some money for that marketing.
We haven't gotten too much as far as gameplay is concerned, but we got several like cinematic like cutscenes and stuff like that. So
the ship is like sentient or something?
The ship is sentient. So you take control of the cultist or ex-cultist, I guess, Nara. Basically, you have a starfighter that is sentient, and basically you're going through this quest to unravel her dark, twisted past. So it looks really interesting. I like the idea of this space-specific combat. It's cool that we're getting like Star Wars Squadrons as well, because I like that kind of space dogfighting stuff. So that'll be a good, even though they're not related, obviously, that'll be a good kind of like way to ease into.
Have they given a release date for this?
They said in 2021, but they haven't set a firm release date. So, but yeah, I think it's super cool. I love that space combat or air combat stuff. So
art design looks pretty sweet too. Like,
yeah, it's a beautiful looking game. It has a similar color scheme that black and red as like Control did when you were in like the what was it called? The corrupted zones and stuff like that, where the screen would go into that deep red. So it has a similar color scheme to that, which I think it's pretty and menacing at the same time. So, but yeah, that was my hidden gem.
Those are four games to look out for that you might not have heard about, or maybe you heard about but didn't pay attention to.
Is there anyone that you guys are now really interested in after we talked about it? Because I'm all about Chicken
Police. Yeah, the Chicken Police actually sound really interesting.
When Pat showed me Chicken Police, I was like, oh yeah, this will be dope.
Twin Mirror looks pretty good too.
Yeah.
What's the news? What's the news?
Not Slow News.
All right, Not Slow News is a new segment where I spit off news headlines and you guys have one sentence to respond.
We actually haven't done it in a while.
No, we have not. All right. Looks like Tatiana Maslany from Orphan Black and most recently Perry Mason will be Marvel's new She-Hulk.
Yeah, she's a great actress. I'm excited.
I'm not super familiar with her work.
If Marvel picked her, she must be good at acting.
All right. Looks like Fall Guys rounded up all their cheaters and made their own games called Cheater Island?
Oh, that's awesome. That's pretty cool.
There was this one guy on Twitter who like responded to it. He's like, I never cheated. And then you guys banned me. And then everybody in Twitter is like, this guy's a total fucking cheater.
That's great. Fight fire with fire.
All right. Super Mario All-Stars 3D is Amazon's number two best-selling game of 2020, right on the heels of Animal Crossing.
That's actually, I am not as surprised as I initially was just now.
Nintendo really knows how to market.
Yeah.
I love his responses.
Mandalorian Season 2 comes out 30th of October.
Let's go!
As you guys know, I'm not a huge fan of the first season, but hopefully the second season is more focused on the storyline instead of just filler episodes in the middle, so we'll see how good it is.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see this.
All right, looks like Borderlands 3 gets a free next-gen upgrade.
Oh, I can't wait to play this with Chance.
Good on Gearbox.
You can play by yourself, you bitch. Because I've already beaten the game. I'm on the DLC.
Diana Rigg from Game of Thrones has passed away.
She played the... Fuck, what was the character's name?
Someone tell Cersei it was her.
That's who it was, yeah.
It's a sad day. Sad news.
It's like on the spot thinking.
Stream of consciousness. I fucking love it. All right. That was Not Slow News. Thanks for listening.
Moving on. So, on September 17th, Nintendo had their Partner Direct Mini. So we'll just kind of go through more of the highlights of the Direct. There was a lot of Monster Hunter stuff, especially at the start. So they start off the Direct with Monster Hunter Rise, again, developed by Capcom. It will be released on March 26th, 2021. This game resembles the traditional Monster Hunter with more freedom of movement. There's this new
grappling hook.
They call it you can use wire bugs to essentially use as a grappling hook. I never played any of the Monster Hunter games.
So Nintendo consoles themselves, like the handhelds, have usually gotten a lot of Monster Hunter games. But I think Monster Hunter World didn't come to it because it was like too demanding. So this is them like making their own version for the Switch, which I guess makes a lot of sense. But I'm not a huge Monster Hunter fan. I know Chance was into World a little bit.
Yeah, I got it, and I never played a game like that, so I... It was fun, but I just wasn't used to, like, all the controls and what I had to do. You had to, like, sharpen your weapon. You had to do a bunch of tedious things. Like, you had to prepare for the fight, and then each monster had its own things you had to prepare for. It was just a little too much for me, so I kind of fell off of it pretty quick.
So, does a Switch-exclusive Monster Hunter speak to you?
No, I feel like it's kind of a game where, like, you want it, like, on it on, like, a console where it can look the best, or, like, on PC or something. Like,
what if I told you that Monster Hunter game was Monster Hunter Stories 2 Wings of Ruin?
Like you're I said,
see, like this, I didn't understand. Like, you're releasing two Monster Hunter games in the same year. That
I think it's a completely different gameplay premise, isn't it?
Is like yeah, it is. So, genre? So Monster Hunter Stories is like a, it's like a JRPG, right? I have no idea.
I don't know why you're looking at me.
So that, I assume this is
so
clearly based.
So
on
the Monster Hunter game. Stories 2 will release in the summer of 2021. So shortly after.
Probably. Either way, if you're a Monster Hunter fan, you got two games coming to Switch.
Congratulations. We don't need to talk about fitness boxing too, right?
Rhythm and exercise. Yeah, I love your comment. I didn't know there was a first fitness boxing.
Oh, that happens a lot in this direct if you go through the outline. Do we want to talk about Disgaea 6?
Disgaea.
Disgaea 6.
What did you say?
Disgaea. I don't fucking know how to pronounce it. Okay.
Disgaea 5 did fairly well for Switch because it was like one of the early games that you could get on Switch. I think it was a port of like some other
I didn't version. Even know this franchise existed and there's six of them.
Because you're in the West.
Yeah, that is a fair point. That is a fair point. Balan Underworld releases on March 26th. It will be on everything.
That's a 3D action platformer?
Yep.
So this was originally announced at the Xbox showcase in July, right? The pre-show or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So this is obviously multi-platform.
Yep. There's Rune Factory 5, so you basically run a town, like Farmville, and you do everything in the town and no one else helps you.
You're just making runes.
Making runes and factories and farming, and the fifth installment of a game I also didn't know
unionizing.
Existed. This will release in 2021.
Let's talk about this. So this is actually, this was in pre-alpha or early access on PC or something. It's very much a... hack and slash RPG, but also like a roguelike. So like every, like you start and then you do a run. And then I think there's some procedurally generated like enemies or something like that. And then, once you die, you start at the beginning, but like mm-hmm. you have the knowledge of what you've learned, but not necessarily the abilities or the equipment.
Right. This initially released on PC in December of 2018.
In early access,
but now it'll be on the Switch. Let's see.
Empire of the Sin was something that was announced a while ago. We finally have a release date on it, I guess. So it kind of reminds me of like Civilization, right? Is
that it's a strategy game, but you're essentially running your own criminal underground organization in Prohibition era Chicago. So it was much more like a Civilization game. Sniper Elite 4, the third person tax shooter from 2017, will release holiday 2020 on the Switch. The big one is Ori. Mm-hmm. That's a huge pickup for the Switch. So it already released on the Switch on the day of the Direct. I Am 8-Bit is also selling a collector's edition of this. It looks fantastic. Yeah. It includes both Ori games, so Will of the Wisps and The Blind Forest. It has a stained glass art piece that comes with it, a glow-in-the-dark display box, and an enamel pin, among other things. So if you're super into Ori and you love all this stuff, they do have a collector's edition that comes with it, which is beautiful. It looks really nice.
And honestly, Ori and the Will of the Wisps is like one of the best games that came out this year.
Yeah,
definitely go play it. It is awesome. You know, the gameplay, music, story, everything in that game is awesome.
Do you have to play Ori and the Blind Forest first? Is it recommended?
You don't have to, but it would probably be better story-wise for you to play it.
And is Blind Forest available on Switch, or are they just going straight with
Blind Forest? Is available on Switch, yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. But obviously, both of these are available on Game Pass. So if you don't want to spend the money or anything, you should, obviously. It's totally worth it. But 4K, 60 on the Xbox is also getting a 4K 120 FPS upgrade because it didn't always hit that performance target on the Xbox One X. It's getting an upgrade for Series X. So obviously, if you haven't played it yet, you want to play it the best version, wait for Series X. But if you only have a Switch, 100% worth it.
I would recommend, though, if you are going to play it on the Switch, that you dock it and play it on the TV. I don't know how well it would actually play on just the Switch itself.
Especially you're not going out anywhere. It's COVID.
Right,
come on.
Yeah.
There's some instances in Blind Forest where I'm just like, this is hard.
Yeah. It's definitely one of those, like...
It's not an easy game. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's almost... Yeah, absolutely.
Also, if you don't have a Switch, but you want to play this game on mobile, xCloud.
Unless you have an iPhone.
Then fuck you.
Then don't fuck, not fuck you, you just don't get xCloud.
Yeah, you get this sweet U2 album.
I still have their music on my damn phone.
Oh, I don't use
Apple Music. How do I delete it?
And it's still on your phone whether you like use it or not. It's still taking up space.
Who cares? It's one out.
Yeah.
Community questions.
Huh?
So, community questions. This is the first time we've done this in a while. So, what community questions is, we will go on to social media, typically Reddit, and we'll post a question to the community. You guys answer it. We read out our favorite answers out here on the pod, and the panel answers, and we discuss it. This week, this actually caused quite a bit of friction in our chat for this podcast. It shouldn't, but it did, because some people...
It shouldn't from my perspective, not from your perspective.
I definitely have a gripe with you. God. Your opinion is so ridiculous.
Your opinion is wrong.
So what we'll do, I'll actually ask the question while you guys are confused as why we're angry. So the question that we talked about in the chat and that we ended up putting up on Reddit was, which video game characters would be on your Mount Rushmore? So we're talking
video game characters.
Video game characters. You're talking
more iconic.
We're talking about the most iconic video game characters of all time.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about Mount Rushmore if you're not from the U.S.
I would love
okay.
to.
Okay, do you want to talk about
it? Yeah.
Okay, Rick will tell us what Mount Rushmore is for those
Mount
of you
Rushmore
who are not familiar.
And the state of South Dakota, which is towards the middle of the United States, is basically carvings of four presidents' heads on the side of a mountain. And featured in such iconic movies as Team America, World Police, and North by Northwest, directed by Alfred Hitchcock.
And National Treasure 2.
Book of Secrets. That was History with Rick?
Yeah. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with the euphemism of your Mount Rushmore of whatever categories, typically like your top four of anything.
Four characters that
you would carve
have
into
done
a
enough
mountain.
For the history of whatever.
Of whatever.
Console yeah. or franchise. Yeah. Or
well, company. In this instance, we're talking about the most iconic video game characters of all time. That so has been left up to interpretation by us, clearly.
In my interpretation is characters that are like iconic for being video game characters.
I'm saying iconic as a video game character, and that
maybe
iconism could have branched
more people
out.
On Reddit.
Yes, we will. So, I will tell you right now, Pat, that Nathan Drake did not come up one time because
he would
he's
be
not
climbing it.
Where did you post this?
Reddit.
Which subreddit?
R gaming.
Yeah, well, they obviously PS4 people are in their own subreddit.
Oh, for fuck's sake! It's the gaming subreddit.
PS4 are in their sub. You know how exclusive they are.
Anyway, my four. In no particular order.
Talk about the people's four, not your four.
Okay, fine. We'll go through the people's four.
Nobody cares what
okay.
you.
The most upvoted one, Jedi Lucky said Pikachu, the left paddle from Pong, Master Chief, and Lara Croft, specifically the 32-bit version.
Who is this?
Jedi underscore Lucky.
Fuck you, Jedi underscore Lucky.
Oh my.
No, no, but also the left paddle from Pong can also sub as the four straight brick one of Tetris.
Of Tetris.
That is
yeah.
true.
Yeah. That's a twofer.
Mutter 1310 said Mario, Sonic, Pikachu, and Pac-Man.
Went almost all Nintendo there, like.
Curry Windaloo said Master Chief, Mario, Link, and Pac-Man.
Respect that guy.
Right.
Windaloo. I am not a robot. Said
that's suspicious.
said Mario, Lara Croft, Link, and Solid Snake. EMA
it.
Rogue said Mario, Sonic, Sackboy, and Snake.
Sackboy?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Sackboy.
Hungarian Newfie said Mario, Pac-Man, Pikachu, and Steve.
There's a lot of Pikachus in here.
And then...
Fuck is Steve.
The best answer...
Steve from Minecraft.
Is that his name?
Yeah, his name's Steve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's fucking stupid.
My four, no particular order, Mario, Master Chief, Pikachu, and Pac-Man. Those are my four Mount Rushmore of iconic video game characters. Rick, we'll go with you.
Well, I'm going to make it very easy for my stoneworker. Definitely going Tetris Block.
Okay.
I like that idea.
I'm going to go the spaceship from Galaga.
Suddenly, it's not easy for you.
No. It's just
okay.
8-bit, man.
Okay.
Like OG arcade. Fucking love Galaga. Pyramid Head. Okay. So that'll also be very easy to carve.
Right.
And last but not least, I'm going to go Link.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd probably go Link from Ocarina. Just because, okay. you know, big blocky head. Mm-hmm. Still very easy for my stonemason to get his job done.
So Rick took this a completely other dimension and thought about his worker.
Well, originally what I was going to do, I was going to be like, yeah, Miyamoto. Like Kojima.
Those are not video game
characters. And I know we didn't. We just said video game Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, which video game characters would be on your Mount Rushmore?
Oh, I thought we just said video game Mount Rushmore.
No.
That was the original one. Just said video game Mount
Rushmore. Yeah, I changed it to characters.
Yeah,
like Chance. What is your video game Mount Rushmore? Character.
You kind of hear a lot of repetition. Like Master Chief. I feel like it's kind of a tie. Like in my opinion, like. I know people, I don't know, I kind of, it's kind of a tie between Mario and Pikachu, just like, for like Nintendo, because I think those two are like the big ones, like, and then I'd have to go with, like, Pong, just because that's like, literally started it all, like, started everything. You know, I'll just have those four, Mario, Pikachu, Pong, and Master Chief.
So my argument against Pikachu is iconic not for the games, before the TV show, the trading cards, all that stuff.
But those all stem from the game.
From the manga.
From the game. The game came first.
Yeah, but the game had red and blue first. Pikachu wasn't introduced till later.
Pikachu was still in the game. Later. He was still in the game.
Pikachu was in Vermilion Forest.
Yeah. Pikachu's still in the game.
Either way, Pikachu is famous for stuff that's without games. So if you ask a casual person
who Pikachu is,
why, when you think of Pikachu, what do you think of? They're going to say trading cards. They're going to say cartoons.
Are they?
Are they going to say Pokemon Go?
People don't even know what Pokemon is.
The fucking parents are going to say, oh yeah, it was the Pokemon card.
Or that Pokemon video game that they played
on their phones that's been all over the news.
They're going to think of Pokemon. They're not going to think of the Pokemon show or the manga.
They're going to think of the manga and the trading card game. So I think that's why Pikachu does not deserve a place. Plus, Pikachu did not do anything itself for gaming. It's all the Pokemon collectively that did that.
I disagree.
How many Mario manga have you read?
I played the game.
The Mario trading card game?
That's my point. I've played the Mario game. That's why people know Mario. People don't know Mario from
But Pikachu's so big, games. He's not only in the games, but everywhere else.
Pikachu is...
Exactly. He's not iconic for the games.
Pikachu is the face of Pokemon.
He's iconic for the games and...
He's the quite literal face of Pokemon.
Yeah, but Pokemon itself is not popular because of the games. Pokemon is popular because of the TV show and the impression it had on...
The card game, but...
We're not getting super into this discussion, but obviously mine would be... Master Chief. I do like the idea of the Tetris block slash paddle for Pong, because Pong was technically the first one. And then I would obviously go Mario. And then my last slot, I would either give to Snake or Lara Croft. But probably, yeah, the original PlayStation 1 version.
Cool.
Not fucking Pikachu.
We had a fun, rousing conversation with community questions. All right, let's end this episode with a nice, lighter topic that we can just breeze by really fast. What is it, Zach?
Right, the PS5 showcase.
Woo-hoo! Oh, shit.
Yes!
$49. Okay.
All righty.
We finally have release dates and prices for both consoles.
Yes.
I never thought this day would come.
Especially 2 weeks ago when we were predicting, oh, we won't get an announcement until early October.
That's what Zach thought.
He was wrong.
That's, first of all, that was a perfectly fair prediction. At that rate, it was ridiculous that we had to even wait this long.
It's funny that after a game of chicken, they're both the same price. Like, the main consoles of each are the same price.
Mm-hmm. PlayStation had their showcase on September 16th. So we're going to kind of go through it chronologically. I think that's just be the easiest way to do it. So first, we started out the showcase with Final Fantasy 16, which was the first in a long line of predictions that I got wrong this week, or challenges rather, in addition to the predictions that I got wrong this week. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, go back a couple episodes and see what a horrible job I did.
So this was the first game they showed, and this had the disclaimer like, this is running on a PC
that is emulating
the PlayStation 5 experience. So this game is clearly very early in development.
Yes.
Obviously with Final Fantasy history, they usually announce a game and then it comes out like 8 years later.
Right. I knew it was Final Fantasy because I had no idea what the hell was going on. I challenged that this wouldn't be announced, so the second I didn't understand what was happening, and I knew that I had failed that challenge.
It's the hairstyles. That's how you know.
Right. The Final Fantasy announcement came with a cinematic trailer that revealed what I have been made aware of are hallmarks of the Final Fantasy franchise, such as the summons and the crystals.
The chocobos.
Whatever that is. Cool. Those things, yes. It is a PS console timed exclusive.
We don't know it's timed exclusive. We're assuming it's timed
exclusive. We are assuming it is a timed exclusive based on the disclaimer they put at the end of the video that it was going to be released on PlayStation for a limited time, I think is what the wording was.
But then later when they uploaded just this by itself, they removed that.
Right.
And it just says PlayStation console exclusive.
But that disclaimer was still in fine print at the bottom.
of that released on later consoles or something like that. That was still
in there. Still, like, they haven't confirmed it, basically. Right.
But we are just making the assumption that it will be a
title. I think it is definitely going to be a Final Fantasy VII situation where it's, like, going to come to other consoles and PC, like, a year or 6 months out. I think with Final Fantasy VII, it is a year, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Remake Part 1.
Yep.
Yeah. There is going to be a big reveal event set for 2021, obviously.
That will get delayed.
From there, we went on and got gameplay trailer for Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Finally.
The gameplay begins with Miles and his friend in Harlem. The visuals are stunning, as we would kind of come to expect. Actually, before we kind of dive into this too much, at this point now, they said in the conference that everything is running on a PS5. So it is no longer a PC emulating PS5. This is now PS5 in-engine. So we got the Spider-Man gameplay and everything. There is flashy combat that's reminiscent of the previous Spider-Man game. There is Miles' own flair and combat style,
yeah,
and
power effects
from the suits and his electric ability. So we do get that, which is a difference.
The music, like being more hip-hop.
Yeah, like, yeah, kind of going down to that more...
Just like the culture of Harlem.
Yeah. There is the reveal of the Tinkerer as a villain. Or I guess potential villain. We're not sure if Tinkerer is going to be the big bad.
Oh, hell no.
I doubt it heavily.
This is a shorter game. So. Nope.
So this game, as we already know, will release holiday 2020.
A lot of news came out after the conference, but we will talk about how that was all received. But either way, coming out holiday 2020 is what this conference said.
Yeah. From there, we moved on to one of my favorite parts of the conference. We got Hogwarts Legacy.
It exists!
So
yeah. We talked about this game two years ago.
So the leak that we talked about 2 years ago, it has now come to fruition with Warner Brothers Games finally announcing that Hogwarts Legacy will be the upcoming RPG set in the Wizarding World, aka Harry Potter setting. Developed by Portkey Games and Avalanche Software, the game will take place at Hogwarts in the late 1800s, so prior to, obviously, the Harry Potter storyline as we know it. Your own custom character will be the star in this open-world action RPG, which is my favorite part. I think you get to create your own character and go through
it. In the press release, they did say, like, you have some sort of ancient power or something that, like,
makes you special.
Different, yeah. Which, standard RPG.
Yep.
Yeah.
This will be coming to PS4, PS5, Series X, Series S, and PC in 2021. Kind of some and features. And
Xbox One.
Did I not say Xbox? I did not put Xbox One. But Xbox One as well. Some of the features they showed in the trailer, there is a sorting hat ceremony. There were some teases of Hogsmeade, Dementors. You were outside castle walls. There were various monsters. There was a dragon at the end of the trailer. And dark wizards are all teased. Then obviously this ancient power that you need to discover. But really cool. I know I love all the Harry Potter stuff. I know Pat does. I'm sure Rick and Chance do as well. I'm not going to speak for y'all. Really a Harry Potter. Are you not a big
Harry Potter? I didn't read Harry Potter until about 5 years ago.
Okay. So you're relatively, I guess, not new, I would say.
It's not like I grew up with it. It's like I read it 5 years ago.
Yeah, right. Definitely if you read it as an adult, it would probably have a different...
Right. The luster is quite lacked.
Yeah. Obviously, great reveal trailer. It is a little tainted with... the trash person that J.K. Rowling has become these days.
But apparently they announced today that she has nothing to do with this project. They have distanced themselves a lot.
I know that's been like kind of the discussion on Twitter. Like, can you support this game without supporting J.K. Rowling? Because, yes, she will get some money out of you buying this because she does own the IP and the property and everything. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of developers who are not trash people.
Right.
I assume.
And the people who work on the game that are
not. Before things got bad.
Yeah. Before she decided to spew everything on Twitter the way she does.
For seemingly no reason.
Yeah.
It was completely unprovoked.
Like, yeah. She has said some very controversial things, and we'll leave it at that. I don't want to have her taint what is going to be, hopefully, a very good game.
Separate from anything she's done. Like, the game itself looks great. I'm super excited for it.
Yep.
I do want to see some gameplay to see how that combat actually functions.
Right.
Obviously, I really hope they do give you some sort of personality test or something to put you in the right house. I would be a Slytherin.
I hope they don't, like, force you to go into a house or something. Like, I really hope you get to choose your house. Like, you do that, like, a personality test, but they'll get you sorted.
Yeah, I don't want it to be something where it's like, oh, hey, pick your house, because I want to be placed in it like the sorting hat ceremony would do. I doubt, based on my nature, that I would end up being in Slytherin. I fully expect Pat to be there.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I would expect myself to fall
in. A lot of great wizards are in Slytherin.
No one said they weren't. But
I just want it to be heard.
I understand. I would also say that I would
fall. Great wizards.
I would definitely fall into the Hufflepuff or Gryffindor range. 100%. We shall see.
I say it told me Gryffindor, but I'm totally a Hufflepuff.
Puffing that Huffle.
I just don't see myself being a Ravenclaw because they're very introverted, and I am not that.
Yeah, I would see Pat being
in more of a Ravenclaw. Yeah. I'm more of a Hufflepuff, I feel like, but like I like Ravenclaw. But
no, Chance is totally a Slytherin.
How?
Zero. He killed over 40 people at Call of Duty earlier.
He was happy about it.
Yeah, he was gleeful.
Moving on from there, we did get campaign gameplay for Call of Duty : Black Ops : Cold War.
Yeah, more Call of Duty. Alpha for PlayStation people. We already talked about the alpha, so yeah.
40 people.
We got gameplay trailer for Resident Evil Village. For me personally, all I'm going to say about this is it's scary and I'd like to move on.
So I really like the tone of the trailer. Obviously, like we've kind of had this tone throughout, but I liked how she's describing the story and it's got that like, almost like a Tim Burton movie type thing playing in the background, like animation or whatever of the story. Mm. It does look like you have, like, Resident Evil 7 was very claustrophobic. Like, you're in this small section of the house that you're exploring and stuff, going around corners and stuff. So it felt very, like, small scale. I don't expect this to be a much larger game or open world or anything. But having that more open area to explore, I think, will give it a different tone, which I'm totally down for.
I'm really getting vibes that it's going to be almost like a pleasant blend of Resident Evil 7 and 4, where, you know, you have this village of people that are just trying to kill you, seemingly for no reason, but also just the style of 7, kind of implementing that new kind of Resident Evil. Mm-hmm. They revamped the series and kind of making that a little less linear, I would say.
Yeah. More open environments, making new enemy types. We saw like the werewolves or whatever. There's a coven of witches and stuff. So interesting to see how that all play out. It looks great. And yeah, it's coming to everything. So I know all the marketing has been with PlayStation, but I will be playing this on my Series X.
From there, we did get new Deathloop gameplay.
Looks so good.
It's so pretty.
This showed gameplay from, I will call it how they presented the two birds, one stone loop. So basically how they went about this is that they actually showed you utilizing the knowledge of past experiences or past failures in the loop to affect the loop that you are now currently in.
Yeah. So basically there's two, like there's eight people you have to kill throughout the entire campaign. And it's just like, you know what your mission is and now you just have to do it within one loop, which I'm assuming is going to be timed.
Yeah.
But you can, every time you die, you start over, or every time you
the time falls out.
But you know, speedrunners are going to have so much fun with this game.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So we got glimpses of the villains.
Well, what they were kind of like alluding to is like somebody who's played this game enough that they have killed every one of these people, just not in a single loop because you don't have enough time.
Right.
So they showed this guy playing the mission where he has to kill, was it Igor the first
one? Igor and Alexis.
Yeah, so Igor was the first one. Like he's played this so much, he knew exactly where the people was. People, like the enemies were, and then he like went through it super quick to kill the guy. Mm-hmm. But then he has to go to the
other guy. Halfway across the island.
Who's at a party doing something else. So that's where he's losing time. So the really interesting thing that they showed is that this guy makes a scientific discovery every morning. And that scientific discovery prevents him from going to a party that this other guy is throwing because he's like so excited and like...
He blows off the invitation because he wants to work on this experiment.
He's so into his project. So what they do in the morning is they go to this guy's place, fuck up the experiment.
Sabotage
that only
it.
Takes a little bit, and then they go do other shit. And then by the end of the night, the guy's super depressed that his project didn't work.
So he's drinking his troubles away at the party.
And now, him and the other guy are in the same location. So it's not like, you know, you fuck up and you have to just keep trying till you get the timing absolutely right. It's like using the knowledge and the patterns of these people.
Like cause and effect,
kind of. Yeah, being able to affect the pattern and change it is kind of what you hoped would happen, and it's a cool dynamic that they've actually shown is effective and works. And
kind of like thinking outside the box of
figuring out
how to do that. It's like a puzzle.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just that emergent gameplay and like player choice in gameplay plus story is like going to be really interesting. I'm super excited for this.
I'm also very excited.
It was one of my main reasons to get a PS5 at launch, but it's been delayed. So,
do we want to talk about Devil May Cry?
Devil May Cry 5 is getting a special edition. Sure, why not?
Yeah, so it was announced for digital launch on PS5. For those of you who are...
You will not get a free upgrade from the one you already have. So you have to buy the special edition, which is $40. But apparently it includes a lot of extra shit.
There was Oddworld Soulstorm gameplay trailer revealed as well. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but
Rick's super
Rick is super excited.
Oh,
That's what made me get my first PlayStation.
Was Oddworld. I just want to say I didn't play the first Oddworld game or however many other Oddworld games there are. I just want to say I hate the tone in which this game is presented. I don't know if I want to take it seriously or not based on how they're presenting it. It's like, oh, hey, there's all these high stakes, and then there's just goofy-ass shit. It just doesn't make sense to me. But then again, I didn't play the previous Oddworld games, so.
I'm very excited. Of course, I'm not going to get a PS5 like right at launch, which is this is coming out at launch.
Mm-hmm. Is this at launch?
Did
they say that?
It says 2020, so I assume.
At least
it's no actual date.
No firm release.
So I'm questioning that 2020 right now.
Let's see. So we did get a announcement for Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach.
This looked very different than any other Five Nights at Freddy game I've seen. Ray tracing has really helped this game, but it did have that creepy tone, so I definitely need to see more about it, but I am interested.
All we got was the announcement trailer, so yeah. We did get extended gameplay for Demon's Souls. Game looks solid visually.
Remake from Bluepoint?
Yeah, it's the remake from Bluepoint. I never played Demon's Souls.
But you've played like Sekiro and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's super hard.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole gimmick of it. This was the first game that actually
started that.
Okay. Yeah. Demon's Souls actually had that disclaimer too, where it's like available on other consoles at a later date, PC, coming to PC also. And then Sony removed that from the trailer.
Yeah.
They posted it separately. So this might be another timed exclusive, but I think Sony owns at least some of this IP, so I'm not sure.
I just don't think they want other people to know it's going to be on other things.
I mean,
so yeah, like, only on why ours would or you? For ours. Yeah, it's like, get rid of, cut all that out. So,
and then finally, they did talk about the PlayStation Plus collection that's announced for the PS5. So the following games will be available on the service at PS5's launch. So it'll be God of War, Bloodborne, Monster Hunter World, Final Fantasy 15, Fallout 4, Mortal Kombat 10, Uncharted 4, Ratchet and Clank, Days Gone, Until Dawn, Detroit Become Human, Battlefield 1, Infamous Second Son, Batman Arkham Knight, The Last Guardian, The Last of Us, Remastered, Persona 5, and Resident Evil 7, Biohazard.
So this is a free benefit coming to PlayStation Plus. So
yes.
Only on PS5, though. So if you have a PS5 at launch, you have PlayStation Plus, you'll be able to just download these games and play them. So it's not streaming or anything.
Right.
A lot of people are saying this is Sony's response to Game Pass.
So it's like a mini response to Game Pass, but not really.
Not at all.
It wouldn't be effective enough. It wouldn't be effective enough as a response to Game Pass, obviously.
I think this is more of like a incentive for people who have not had a PlayStation 4 to get a PlayStation 4, because you have like a lot of these exclusives that they probably have an experience can get,
like you can it's chance. Like a catch-up experience, like
exactly,
you know, like what the fuck was it,
you can play Last of Us Remastered, and then once they remaster Last of Us 2 for the PS5, boom, you
can just get Last of Us 2 and it's backwards compatible. We assume,
hopefully.
They only said that it wasn't backward compatible for PS1, 2, and 3.
They said 99% of PS4 games are backwards compatible, but they're still in the midst of testing.
Right.
So it's going to be a case-by-case basis, but hopefully most of them make it. Last of Us 2, I can't see them not supporting, because that is such a
big title. Game. Yeah.
But it's partly because they want people who, you know, don't have a PS4 to get a PS5 and have to like be able to experience these games.
Right.
And I think it's also for people who own a PS4 to get a digital console, because a lot of people were like, oh, I have all these PS4 games that are on disc, most of these games that you probably have played if you're a hardcore PlayStation 4 fan, but you're like, so I'm kind of stuck getting a regular PS4 with a disc drive, and then that way Sony has to give, like, it doesn't get that 30% from everybody. But if you lock somebody into a digital console, especially a hardcore fan who probably gets these games at launch, that's going to be more profit for you in the long run. So that's why they're like, here's all the games you already own, just digital, so you can get a digital console.
Right.
I think that's their play. I don't think they're trying to compete with Game Pass.
I don't think so either. But
in fact, there was an interview with Jim Ryan where they talked about, like, would you ever consider putting your first-party Sony titles in a subscription service? And he's like, it's just not sustainable for us. It might be sustainable for other companies, obviously referring to Microsoft. But it's not something we would ever do. So I don't expect them to ever have like a, you know, Last of Us 2 comes day and date to, or Last of Us 3 comes day and date to PlayStation Now or anything like that.
And then before we dive into the console specific stuff, we're going to dive into the final video game announcement that they had. And that was God of War Ragnarok was announced. So it was just scheduled to release in 2021. That's all we know about it. That's all that was shown, just the logo of God of War.
What's great is someone on Reddit pointed out that Corey Barlog, who was the director for the last God of War, I'm not sure if he's still creative director for this one, but he had a pinned tweet since April of 2019. It was like a thread of tweets, and the first letter of each of those tweets spelled out Ragnarok is coming.
Yeah.
And like no one picked up on it until today.
Yeah.
Well, maybe someone did, but like this is the first time I've seen it.
Yeah.
So crazy.
It's almost like how Phil Spencer had the Xbox Series S on his bookshelf in the background of the July?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like one of the events where I think somebody was asking him directly, like, have you heard the rumors about this Lockhart or whatever? He's like, I'm not going to comment on any rumors. And someone's like pointing, like put a circle around it, like obviously with hindsight. I'm like, it's right there. God of War said 2021.
Yeah, I said that.
That game is 100% getting delayed.
No. Oh. Yeah.
Probably.
I will pizza bet someone right now.
I'm not going to do that. I am not going to do that.
Well, we're about to talk about how I owe Pat a pizza.
So, biggest news that comes out of a PlayStation 5 showcase is the release date and the price of the PlayStation 5. So, the PlayStation 5 with the disc drive, the regular one, will be priced at $499. The digital will be priced at $399. They release in the U.S., Japan, Canada, Mexico, Australia, New Zealand, and South Korea on November 12th.
A Thursday. Very odd, because consoles usually are released on Tuesdays or Fridays, and sometimes I think Nintendo has done it on a Saturday.
Fucking Nintendo.
And then this will be released in all other territories on November 19th. PS5 pre-orders, and this is kind of where we're going to go with this as far as
alluded to the date pre-orders
would open. Nothing said that, but on Twitter, via Jeff Keighley, they said that pre-orders were going to be going live the next day, which at the time was September 16th, so they would have gone live
retailers,
at Select Retailers on September 17th.
The same time this was happening, I saw on Reddit, someone's like, got my pre-order in, because GameStop just is like, let's do it now.
Money.
So this was a secret that lasted for the better part of 11 seconds. And then everyone on Earth who wanted a PlayStation 5 was trying to pre-order a PS5. These pre-orders got sold out at these retailers within hours.
I went to GameStop when I saw everybody was like, you know, accepting pre-orders and stuff. And I went there and they were literally sold out of digital consoles. They just had the regular one, and like as I'm standing at the counter or whatever, I'm like, very suspicious, GameStop, that you are sold out of the digital edition,
the cheaper edition,
like the edition that would make sure nobody ever comes back to your store to buy games.
Right,
they're a Funko Pop store only.
So those pre-orders sold out.
Then Walmart went live.
Walmart went live, and those went really quickly. So I'm like chronologically throughout the night.
Best Buy came later, and then Amazon.
Target went later, Amazon went later, and they were all out. I happened to just be staying up until 3 in the morning playing F1 when Pat texted me at 3 a.m.
Yeah, so
get on Best Buy now.
I tried at Best Buy, and their site, like we were both trying at Best Buy because their site was having issues from like the get-go.
Yeah.
And I could see the digital one in my cart, but I kept clicking checkout.
Mine was the same way.
And then there was a moment where after I went from checkout, I went to continue to payment method. Like I picked up, like I wanted to pick it up at this store or whatever.
Yeah.
I just kept hitting process payment, and it wouldn't work. And then I'm like, this is my life now. This is how the rest of my life is. And then I hit it one time, and then like it went to like a, this site is crashed or whatever. And I hit refresh, and then it put me back to the cart.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do the payment method thing. I'm like, this is hell. This is literal hell.
Yeah. It was horrible. Like, I was basically in the same boat, and then it eventually popped up that we are no longer having this product.
So I had some inside information. My brother, who works at Best Buy, told me like their site updates at 12 a.m. Pacific time, which is 3 a.m. here. So I set an alarm for 3, and then I happened to just get on, and I could add it to my, it was already in my cart, and then I just hit checkout, went to the payment method, let me select the store, continue, and it processed. And I'm like, I just texted Zach. I'm like, get on Best Buy right now.
And in that time, this is happening within minutes. So I think Pat texted me at like 3:06. At 3:08, I tried to do a digital one. They were gone.
Yeah.
So then I went, and I actually did end up getting the regular PlayStation 5. At that point, I personally wanted just the digital one, but at this point, I'm happy to just get a pre-order. So yeah, so that is kind of like the, we'll call it a mess. I'm not going to call it a debacle. Maybe a fiasco is a better term. But this is kind of what was happening as far as pre-orders were concerned. I know Pat, I think, ordered pre-order 3. We got our pre-orders in. But Microsoft was quick to kind of jump on the chaos by releasing a statement. I can't remember if it was via Twitter or whatever, yeah, regarding their own pre-orders, saying that they were going to make sure they told everyone when their pre-orders were going live, kind of digging at Sony for shadow dropping the pre-orders.
They had a tweet of like, it comes out everywhere November 10th.
Yeah.
It is $4.99 and $2.99, and we will let you know when pre-orders go live ahead of time.
Yeah.
And then, like, the next day they did. It's September 22nd.
At 8 a.m.
8 a.m. Pacific
time. So it'll be 11 a.m. Eastern time is
when those go live. It's going to be all the, most of the resale. Like GameStop, Best Buy, Amazon, Target, all the big ones are going to have it at that time. So set an alarm, Google reminder, whatever you need to do to get your Series X pre-order if you want one.
Yeah.
Do that right now.
So that was everything in the showcase, but there's a lot of shit that they did not mention in the showcase. So a lot of this stuff went out afterwards. Yeah. So they officially announced the PlayStation launch lineup from SIE Worldwide Studios. So Astro's Playroom is going to be pre-installed on every PS5. Demon's Souls is coming out at launch. They didn't have a holiday or anything in the trailer. Yeah. And then that is going to be $69.99. Destruction All-Stars also coming at launch, but they've shown more of Ratchet and Clank, mm-hmm, which we have no idea when that comes out, than they have of Destruction All-Stars. Yeah. Like, we've seen one trailer of this game and they expect people to pay $69.99 for this at launch. Like, what the fuck, Sony? Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales is going to be $49.99, or you can get the Ultimate Edition, which is $69.99, so $20 more. And that includes a remastered version of Spider-Man 2018 included in it with like 60 FPS ray tracing and all that. As far as I know, that's the only way you can get that. They did not confirm that if you own the PlayStation 4 version, you'll get a PlayStation 5 version for free. So don't count on it. And then finally, Sackboy's Big Adventure is going to be $59.99. Mm-hmm. So basically, most of their games is going to be $70 at launch. So we can expect Sony to kind of follow suit, and most AAA games next generation are going to be $70. Mm-hmm. And this actually makes a lot of sense because the other publishers that jumped the gun on 70 was Activision and 2K. Two publishers that have like very close relationships and marketing deals with Sony.
Right.
So they're probably like, Sony's going to be doing this. We know we're good to do this.
Right.
Even though other publishers are not.
Yeah.
So do you think Xbox is also going to have that $70 price tag?
I think eventually most AAA games are going to be $70. We do see a variation of pricing here because Sackboy's Big Adventure is
$59.99.
Spider-Man Miles Morales, which we know is like a Uncharted Lost Legacy type game, is $49.99.
I think your typical like AAA games are going to be $69.99.
I hope that variation of pricing stays with it. Like,
yeah, I think if content-wise the game has less in it, then yeah, it should be a decreased price, because I don't want to pay the same price for like a 40-hour game, let's say, as I would for a 20-hour game. But like,
that's a different discussion. I think marketing-wise it'll be better, because Control was a $60 game, but it was like 20 hours of content maybe. It is absolutely 100% worth $60, but I think that $60 price tag stopped people from actually buying it.
Right. That's the thing. So, because you won't know prior to playing it if it's worth that money.
If they had priced it $49.99, just $10 less, I feel like the sales would have been much higher.
Yeah.
And now word of mouth goes around and Control actually gets more sales in the long run.
Yeah.
Which I think gets more profit. But I think because that whole structure of pricing wasn't really around this generation, hopefully next gen with more varied pricing, we see that happen.
Really hope we don't see it with Xbox One, because I don't want to pay $70 for Halo Infinite.
Well, that's the thing about Game Pass.
Game Pass! How's the setup?
Yeah. They also announced quietly that Horizon Forbidden West, Spider-Man Miles Morales, and Sackboy's Big Adventure are coming to PS4.
Yeah.
If you get the PS4 version, you will get a free upgrade to PS5. Why not announce this sooner? Like, obviously, because you were spouting the whole narrative about, we believe in generations and we think you need to buy the next gen console because these games will not work on the last generation and all this stuff. Well, clearly that's not the
case. Except these couple of games.
Yeah. Spider-Man Miles Morales, I understand, because from the gameplay we've seen, it looks great, but that is basically working off that same engine.
Right.
But Forbidden West, I thought was going to be like their big flagship, like
next gen.
Here's the basic Mario Odyssey of the PlayStation 5. The big game that makes is like the reason for you to get one. Right. So that's very odd to me. Yeah, it's just, it's weird based on all the narrative that they said. Also, none of the announcements had the date or the pricing in it because they're probably wanting to shift attention away from the $70 price tag. The person who was in line ahead of me at GameStop pre-ordered Miles Morales and Demon's Souls. And then he's like, wait, how is it that much? And the lady's like, yeah, Demon's Souls is $69.99. He's like, what? Like, he had no idea. So it's definitely something that they're just trying to kind of push under the rug. Like, hopefully people accept, but we don't want to get the bad publicity. And then they never mentioned what was going to be in the Ultimate Edition of Spider-Man Miles Morales until like hours later. So it's just terrible messaging. Like, yeah. Xbox has been upfront this entire time. They actually got flack for saying like, yeah, a lot of our games are coming to Xbox One and
Series X.
It's just weird messaging. And from a great showcase, it just left a terrible taste in your mouth. It's like they did so well in their Olympic routine, and then at the end, they just let out a giant fart in front of the audience, and that's what you're left with.
The more equivalent thing would be like, oh, you went through your entire routine, but you didn't stick the landing.
Yeah, but that's...
Or you tested positive
for performance enhancing. But letting out the big fart is what you're left with.
Like, well, that, I'm trying to relate how I feel about their performance.
All right, fair enough.
Okay. They stuck the landing. There was just some backdraft.
I finished that showcase going like, yeah, that was awesome. What the fuck is that smell?
Then the better analogy would have been Rick's thing, like where you found out they took performance enhancing drugs for afterwards. Like
because that would
have been like they were lying about their like their frame rates and shit like that. Like they were running it on a superpower PC instead of
yeah, not literally their performance, but like the analogy would have been whatever. I don't need to discuss this with you right now. Yeah.
But basically, based on everything, like Deathloop got delayed, Kena got delayed, and then now Miles Morales is coming to PS4 as well. The narrative of this and then most of the major games like Forbidden West, Ragnarok, they're saying is 2021. So the major message I got out of this is like, you need to get a PS5. Just not right now. You can wait till 2021. Uh-huh. Ratchet and Clank, I assume, is also 2021. But obviously, I'm a huge fan of tech and gaming and stuff, so I'm getting it at launch.
Yeah.
So. But I know you guys are going to be waiting, right, Rick and Chance?
Yeah, indeed. Yeah,
sometime like early next year, maybe a couple months into next year.
I'm noticing
if they have it in supply.
When Ratchet comes out?
Yeah, Ratchet will probably be the game I'm going to be getting it for. Like, when that game comes out, I'll be like, okay, I'm ready to get a PlayStation 5 to play this. It just came out for a PlayStation 5.
Rick, what about you? Any specific game that would make you hop on that?
Not particularly. I'm probably still going to wait a couple of years. As I say, I'm not, like, hardcore into tech. I still have my PlayStation 4. And since
next year, if they're like, Final Fantasy 7 Part 2 is PlayStation 5 only?
Then I'll probably get a digital, yeah. That would definitely twist my arm enough. And the reason I'd go with the digital is just because they're... Yeah, I guess most of the PS4 games are backwards compatible, but I already... Like, I don't really own a lot of physical copies of games that definitely aren't, like, on both systems.
You got digital collection now, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I have digital collection, and also, like, I can easily rebuy those games for Xbox, you know, One, and play them on my Xbox Series X.
Yeah, so I kind of had the same thought process about getting the digital one, because I'm like... The games that I did have physical that I'm like, maybe I should get a physical one, they kind of just included in that collection. So I'm like, no need. I'm just going to trade these in and keep the games anyway and get the digital because it's $100 cheaper. And I'm going to use that $100 probably a year or two down the line when NVMe drives go a little bit down in price to just upgrade that hard drive because it's only 825 gigabytes. So obviously it's going to be a pain to put them on an external and then put them back on the drive when you want to play them. But I'm use that $100 to hopefully get a 2 terabyte 2021, 2022 maybe. But yeah, another game that would have definitely got me to jump on right away and be super excited about it.
Would be a new BioShock?
BioShock. Come on, 2K. BioShock.
Wouldn't you just get that on Xbox?
If they got it exclusive is what I'm saying. Because Sony seems to be doing that. Like Final Fantasy is a huge get.
Right.
Oh, that is a huge get.
Final thoughts. Like we said, it wasn't a great... After the thing, that pre-order thing was just a huge...
Yeah, the pre-order thing was a fiasco. I think just from the showcase itself, the showcase was great.
Oh, yeah. God of War announcement.
The like, God of War announcement.
The fuck was expecting that?
Like that you're kind of sitting there, I'm like, oh, that was like a, you know, like a, maybe like a B-minus showcase. And then, like, yeah, I mean, the console stuff you were kind of expecting. So I'm not going to say that threw it over the top. The God of War news, like, threw it into, like, your high, like your A range. Like, oh, this was a good showcase.
Like, yeah, still at the same time. Like, it's like, okay, cool. God of War. You know, he goes and he kills gods. Remember the last game when he went and killed some Norse gods? Well, this one, he's going to go and kill some more Norse gods, I guess. It was fun. Yeah, it was great. But maybe, like, take that combat. Maybe go back to Greece. Maybe different, like, pantheons of gods.
Yeah, Egyptian.
Be cool to switch it up a little bit.
Maybe they did. Maybe Ragnarok's the first 5 minutes, and then you go somewhere else.
That would be total misleading.
But it could be, like, almost like a Miles Morales thing, where it's just kind of like a small continuation of the previous story.
I would love that. Yeah. It's only been 3 years.
Yeah, it seems like a little fast.
Especially if they're planning a 2021 release date. Assuming it doesn't get delayed. Assuming it doesn't get delayed, it would make sense for it to be a smaller in scope.
If it doesn't get delayed, though, how fucking awesome is that, like, launch year for Sony?
Right.
Like, you have
Horizon.
Miles Morales first, but that's not really exclusive, but still. And then you have Ratchet & Clank, then you have Horizon, and then you have God of War, Deathloop. We assume it was in Tokyo.
Tokyo Drift.
Tokyo Drift, isn't that coming out?
I was going to say Tokyo Ghoul. That's an anime.
Ghostwire Tokyo. Isn't that, didn't they say 2021? Ghostwire,
yeah.
And then Kena. So that's like seven major games in that first year. That's like giving you more than enough.
Seven Deadly Sins.
It's an anime. Another anime, yeah.
Also, Seven Deadly Sins are their own thing. From
Nope, just anime.
Just the movie Seven.
Great movie.
Subpar Subtitles.
Wow!
We haven't done this in a while, but Subpar Subtitles is a little game we like to end the podcast with, and that's SUB-TITLE. So that's Doom Eternal or Assassin's Creed Odyssey. So I basically takes the premise that game developers like naming their games with franchise colon subtitle. So I basically take a fake subtitle that I've made up and intermix it with a bunch of real subtitles, and it's our panel's job here to figure out which one is the fake one. We've been doing this on and off this year, and we've been keeping score. Zach, what are the scores?
So right now, this is technically the 12th week we've done this. We took some time off. Right now, it's me in first with 24, Rick in second with 18, and then Chance in third with 3.
I got points?
Yeah. Remember, you got points.
You were so disappointed you got points.
You got points in week 10.
Like, you immediately left.
And you, like, walked out because you didn't get to Goose Egg the rest of the year.
You were so pissed off about it. I'm sorry to remind you.
Yeah, I was. I was trying to get 0.
Yeah.
Anyway, so...
anyway.
Everyone ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Story mode. Skydivers. Zero mission. This is Sengoku. And Spear of Influence. I'll say those again for those of you listening at home. Story mode. Skydivers. Zero mission. This is Sengoku. And Spear of Influence. Rick, why don't we start with you?
Spear of Influence.
Spear of Influence, which is E. Zach?
It goes D.
This is Sengoku for Zach. Chance?
Okay, C.
C. Zero mission for Chance. And now, time for the twist. So you guys have the option to either keep your answers, and you will get 3 points if it is correct, or you can choose to say all real or all fake, and you will get double the points if you are correct. Double! For a total of 6! So now I ask you, Chance.
All real.
Chance is all real. Rick?
It's tempting to go on all real, but I'm going to hold with the Spear of Influence.
Rick is holding. Zach.
I'm so fucked
all
up.
Fake, do all fake.
I'm so fucked up because in my mind I was going to go all fake, and now I've been completely
wrong. Do it, all fake.
Hurry up.
Fuck it, yeah, I'll do all fake. Who cares?
Zach did all fake.
My first instinct, I'll stick with it.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
Minecraft story mode.
Fantastic.
Real game.
I have 0 mission, yeah.
Skydivers, not a real game. Metroid, zero mission, real game.
Yeah, it's a Metroid game.
Claudin Returns, this is Sengoku, with explanation point at the end, is a real game. And Nobunaga's Ambition, Spear of Influence.
I would say that just seemed like a corny title Pat would make up.
Real game. So the scores do not change.
They do not. Anyway, everyone, thanks for listening. Remember, you can catch us every other Monday, or maybe now every Monday. How are we doing this now that we're releasing more content?
Yeah, just check Mondays. If we're there, we're there.
Sure, yeah. So just check every Monday, and who knows if we'll be there or not, on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify. And then you can reach us with any questions, comments, concerns, or tell Pat how Pikachu is an iconic character at theuntitledgamingpodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at TugPod and on Instagram at TUG_POD. We also ask that you subscribe and leave us reviews. 5-star reviews for us.
1-star review for every other podcast.
No, we don't care about the water bottle. Okay. We just want you to start the podcast.
I'm being so hardcore judge right now.
I mean, aren't you...
That's funny, because you could do stuff to stop your judgment.
He got you so good.
I'm only not going to respond because it's only right that I respect my elders, Rick.
Oh!
That's like what he did there.
For the second there, I thought Pat was going to get up and slap you.
How dare you? Get the fuck out of my house!
Son of a bitch!
Push up!